And there's a new book out about boxing by a former boxer named Springs Toledo. It's called The Gods of War, and it's filled with beautifully written essays about a sport that many consider anything but beautiful. I met up with Springs Toledo at The Ring. That's a boxing club in Boston. And before I talked with him, I had to ask some of the boxers there why they do it, starting with Richard Allen. I asked him how long he'd been boxing.
I've been boxing for 3 years.
And what is it that first got you interested in it?
My father was a boxer in the Navy, and I just felt like I should follow in his footsteps. He had me interested from a very young age. I started competing about 6 months into just boxing in general. I just have a lot of love for the sport in pretty much every facet.
And what is it that you get out of it on a daily basis when you do it?
Oh, what's not to love? You know, I come in here, a gym like this, it's not your normal gym, you know, it's like a small family, a community around here. So I come in here, I see the people I became close to, I work on my craft every day, I get to help people work on their craft, I get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing people succeed.
But are you getting out of it just exercise or aggression out, or are you preparing for a big fight, or what are you doing?
I'm getting ready for a fight in the fall. I fight in the Rocky Marciano tournament every September. Been in the championship 2 years consecutively, and we're going back to win it this year.
Helping Richie Allen along is trainer Rodney Tony, who's been at it a lot longer.
It's going on 26 years now.
Wow, 26 years. And what was it that first got you doing it?
Street fights. I used to fight on the streets a lot, you know, just wrong neighborhoods and stuff like that. So from there, a lot of guys couldn't beat me in the neighborhood, so they had to have another alternative, which was guns, and I wasn't into that. So I went to a gym, talked to this guy. My father used to be a boxer a long time ago, too, so I went to him, and he took me to a gym, and then within 2 weeks, I was doing the Golden Gloves.
And has it evolved from street fights into something totally different now?
Totally different, yes, it has. It taught me how to be humble, too. You know, before I would attack somebody if they said anything wrong. Now I take my time, just try to talk to the guy out of it because you don't know what you're getting himself into, you know.
But does it put your head in a different space when you're boxing than when you're not?
When I'm boxing, I'm in a ring, I'm someone else. You know, I'm my character. My character is called the Punisher. That's my name. So when I go in the ring, I'm the Punisher. When I come out of the ring, I'm Rodney. You know, so inside the ring is different business than being outside the ring. Of course, I have to separate. It's like Bill Bixby with the Incredible Hulk, you know what I mean? Once he goes in there, he's different. When somebody insults him, he gets mad. That's how I used to be. But now I know how to control it and just do it in the ring.
Now, you do have a scar on your face above your eye. Is that a boxing injury?
Yes, it is. That's a $6,000 scar, you know, because the guy headbutted me in the fourth round. I kept fighting, but I didn't see how it was till the fight was over. Then I came and looked in the mirror like, oh, my God, you let me fight like this. You know, it's a terrible scar.
So why do you call it your $6,000 scar?
Because I got paid $6,000 on ESPN to fight the guy. So that's why it's a $6,000 scar.
It's a badge of honor now.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was there. It happened on TV and everything. So it's there.
Trainer Rodney Tony. And another fighter in the gym without a visible scar is Katie Weinberg, who told us she's relatively new to the sport.
2.5 years.
And what was it that first got you started doing it?
The boxing gym was closer than my other gym, so I came by one day.
Well, but something must have kept you here. What was it?
There's not that many sports you can pick up in your 30s that you actually can do a decent job at, I think. And I've got a little bit of power, and I felt like I was doing okay. So it's more interesting than a treadmill, and you got some characters here. So,
but you talk to some of these characters here, and a lot of them have a background in street fighting or anything like that. Do you have that?
No, I would say probably the opposite of that. But I'm actually vegetarian, and I literally won't hurt a fly. But I guess that emotion has to come out somewhere, doesn't it?
You're not worried about being injured?
Well, I think my parents are worried about me being injured. But I had a bruised kidney and a couple black eyes, but it's kind of like a badge of pride, I guess, right?
But now you're okay.
I hope so. Maybe some internal injury. I keep forgetting my keys places, so maybe I have been hit in the head one too many times.
amateur boxer Katie Weinberg. So, back to the book that brought us here in the first place. The man who wrote it, Springs Toledo, is a kind of legend here at the ring, in part because he's been boxing for a long time.
I'm from actually the same neighborhood as Rodney, and we grew up basically fighting, and I was a pretty gentle kid, and I was on the receiving end of a lot of beatings. And I met him. I was about 12 years old and learned how to box, and it gave me something to hold on to, made me feel more comfortable in my own skin, made me feel like I had some self-respect. So it really was a gift. And when I got a little older, I kind of switched into writing. So now instead of being a brawler, I try to be a scholar, so to speak.
And you really do romanticize boxing and your love of it. I want you to read a little bit, if you could, from this section of the book here. Let's see, page 33 from your book.
Without really being conscious of it, we boxing fans are on sabbatical from a modern culture gone mad with political correctness. We lose ourselves in a celebration of ancient virtues of masculinity. Need evidence? Watch the crowd as the bell rings to end a blazing round, and you'll see graying men jump up and down like pogo sticks. Sometimes you'll see two strangers locked in an embrace, their heads craned toward the ring. Boxing can bring an almost spiritual exaltation.
And in this book also, you compare boxing and the fight that is going on to war. Really, you take it to another level.
There's a lot at stake in the ring. Now, the term war, it's a little poetic license there, of course, but some fights, if you've seen them, for instance, Hagler-Hearns from 1985, is still talked about in Boston. That's a war, and it's very, very personal. Although at the end of the fight, which you'll notice in boxing, more than most other sports, where after a good contest, the participants will shake hands. In boxing, they embrace. And it's not a bro hug. It's a real embrace. Because the only one who knows what you went through is your opponent. So in some ways, it is a war. But it's also something beautiful in its own way.
You can imagine there are a lot of listeners who are saying to themselves, I don't think there's anything beautiful about it. It's terrible. It's a fight. And actually, it can be quite dangerous for the people doing it.
I don't deny that. Boxing is the toughest sport there is. And there is danger involved. I look at the glory side of that as well, and the danger in it can be mitigated if you have a good trainer.
Wherever you go now, will you find boxing alive and well in this country, or will you find boxing really on the decline or a shadow of its former self?
Boxing has been lamented as being on the decline since probably the 1940s, when the clubs started to close down and TV started to come in. The old trainer said, it's not like it used to be. You know, the golden days will always be the golden days. Boxing, though, is not a mainstream sport like it used to be. It used to be as big as baseball and horse racing in the 30s and in the 40s. It was a huge sport, front page news. Now, not so much. But boxing as a sport, in some ways, it's opened its gates. You know, 20 years ago, when I was at the Boston YMCA, no one would come into that gym except for fighters. Females never came in. Even guys who lifted weights down the hall, they weren't eager to come in. Civilians, we called them, did not go into that gym. However, this gym, now most, if not half, of the clientele are females.
And why do you think that is?
I think that the owners, gym owners and things like that, they realize that they're not going to survive if they keep it as a brotherhood. So what they did is they expanded out. They marketed it better. Boxing workouts are virtually unchanged in 100 years, but they're very effective.
Well, Springs Toledo, author of The Gods of War, some really beautiful writing about boxing. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you very much.